Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what's good? You on Capiz Street Radio. This is Out of Bounds, our first episode, our first pilot episode of Out of Bounds, where we're going to talk our sports. You know, Capiz Street, we cover battle rap and we cover sports all together. You know, so this is Out of Bounds. I'm your host, T.D. Berry, with my co-host, Deezy. Deezy, what's up?
What's up? It's Deezy.
All right, so tonight we're talking football. We're talking NFL Wild Card Weekend. The NFL Wild Card Weekend just concluded. Four pretty good games, I would say.
Yes,
but
good.
Before we get into that, Deezy, I just wanted to get your overall thoughts, your final thoughts on this season as a whole.
Oh man,
it's
been a good season. It's been a good season. You know, unfortunately, you know, a lot of teams lost their quarterbacks early, the year of the backup that they've been proclaiming. You know, a lot of teams lost their starting quarterbacks, man. So, and it's unfortunately, like, it's crazy, but backup's been showing up, man. It gave us a good season.
I just feel like this season has like an asterisk next to it. Like, even for whoever wins, I just feel like, I mean, and of course we deal with injuries every year. Like, there's nothing new with injuries, but I just feel like every injury was a major injury this year that took away something, that took something from the team that they could have went far with. I mean, you got Aaron Rodgers. They was rolling when he went down. Of course, Carson Wentz. They were definitely rolling when he went down.
That's true.
And even like the ones you said, like the ones who went down early, Tannehill. Deshaun Watson was rolling when he went down.
Watson. You got Bradford go down early. You know, you got Case Keenum, who would have ever thought this dude who pretty much stunk it up everywhere he'd been. He's MVP candidate, you know. It's been as good and as bad. You know, a lot of teams, you know, everybody thought would break out. You know, teams that didn't lose their star quarterbacks, teams like Tampa Bay, who I personally thought would have a breakout season with Jameis Winston and all those weapons they have down there. Man, they pretty much stunk it up all season.
So, but like you said, it was an up and down season. It was good. So now we're here at the playoffs. We got the Bills, who ended a 17-year playoff drought this year. Gift wrapped to them by the Ravens. We got the Titans and the Bills and the Jaguars in the playoffs.
Wow.
Like, who would have predicted that beginning of the season?
Listen, man, you know football is real, man. When you got passionate Bills fans so hype about being in the playoffs, man, they said they was dropping money into Andy Dalton and the guy who caught the touchdown pass charities, man. He's dropping thousands of dollars, people dropping into their charities for helping them get into the playoffs after 17 years, man.
For a short ride in the playoffs too, but we're gonna get to that in a minute. So let's I guess we can go in order. We can start from yesterday, Saturday. The first game was Tennessee Titans, the number 60, were they?
Yep. No, five.
Yeah.
Five.
Against the Kansas City Chiefs, the four seed. So, all right, so I'll let you give me your thoughts on the game.
Well, now we talk about the Titans Chiefs. I didn't see it coming. You know, personally, I didn't think the Titans belong. You know, they proved me wrong, especially without DeMarco. It was a kind of a ugly game in the second half. you know, anytime somebody take the lead on a pass to himself, it was crazy. You know, I it shocked me. It shocked me. All around good game. What's your thoughts, man? How did you view that? You know, did they convince you? Did Tennessee do anything to convince you?
Tennessee, and I hate to say this, Tennessee did nothing to convince me that they are any type of threat to the Patriots. They did nothing to convince me that they're going to go past the next round. I hate to take anything away from them, but I feel like the Chiefs gave them this game.
Yeah,
and it was another case of Andy Reid being Andy Reid.
Yeah.
We've seen Andy Reid lose games like this a lot. Now, you have the league leader in rushes, and he carries the ball for, what, 11 times, I think?
11 times.
You take the 21-3 lead to halftime, and you come out with the same game plan to throw the ball. I think it was good to throw the ball in the beginning and to establish that and to get Alex Smith going, because they were probably expecting that they were going to run the ball. But halftime, people make adjustments. And Andy Reid couldn't adjust to the adjustments that the Titans made.
And he's been the same guy as he was since Philly. You know, he come out with one game. I mean, he's a smart man, but he come out with one game plan. And that game plan stopped working, and that's all he got. He just stick to it, man. He don't make no adjustments, man. You know, you got, like you said, you got league leader in rushing?
Yeah.
League leader in rushing this year. Why, like, come on, once you see your star tight end go down, I thought for sure it would be ground and pound. That was it, man, but same old Andy, like you called it.
And they were not the same team after Kelce went down either.
Yeah.
I just feel like they could barely get it together after Kelce. And then you had his replacement, Demetrius Harris. He had a third down drop late in the second half when the Chiefs were trying to drive after.
Oh, man, it was bad.
They built some momentum. He had a drop and a big holding penalty too, I think, in the drive after that that took away a big first down. And the Chiefs just couldn't put up no points in the second half.
It was
little things like that. And then the Titans came out, and they just dominated the time of possession in the second half. Dominated the time of possession, and they just grounded and pounded. The Chiefs were not a good run team to begin with. I mean, run defense team to begin with. Like they felt like they was doing good in the beginning, but they just ran out of gas.
Yeah, that was hard to watch, man. To watch that defense just get pounded. It's like they just sucked the life out of them, man. In that fourth quarter, man, it was no hope for them, you know, and. They had a late fumble, what they thought was a fumble. You know, it sent the stadium, you know, in an uproar. And once that was overturned, it's just like you could just see it in the air, man. You could just see it in the crowd faces in the team. They were dead, man. It was done. It was over.
And speaking of fumbles, you do have the Mariota fumble that got ruled the forward progress pass, which was a fumble. I don't know how they ruled that forward progress, but that was a game changer right there too. But I can't put that as one thing that lost the game for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Chiefs kind of beat themselves. They got gassed in the second half.
Okay.
So you got the Titans with the 22-21 win. I think that's right, 22-21.
Yep, 22-21.
Went over the Chiefs. So, the late game yesterday, the Falcons versus the Rams, at the Rams, I should say. Falcons, Falcons went up there and pretty much dominated, and they showed the playoff experience that they had.
Yeah.
And you could tell the Rams, like most of the Rams, were having their first rodeo in the playoffs.
I mean, it just showed it. You know, they just put a highlight on the young coach. Man, you got a, what is he, 31-year-old coach. I mean, take nothing away from him. He's probably going to get coach of the year, more than likely. And what he did with that team, I didn't know it was coming. And but, you know, like you said, man, you know, it's a different ball game than the playoffs, man. You know, the playoffs, you know, you got to put your big boy pants on, man. You got to come with it. But they didn't show up. They didn't show up at all.
Nah. The thing about the Rams have looked very good this year at times. But then I think against the more elite teams, like their big matchups, those are the couple games that they lost this year. Like I think they lost their biggest games.
Lost
against the Eagles. They lost against the Vikings.
You know what? You know, and this is something I was thinking this, you know, last week of the season. I didn't understand them, you know, as young as they are. You got a second-year quarterback, you know, like a third-year running back, first-year head coach. You don't get the right to fit your team final week of the season. Y'all haven't been in the playoffs in how long? What makes you think you can just roll into the playoffs, you know, with it, you know, sitting fresh? Come on, man. You got to do better than that. Personally, I think they should have played their starters against the 49ers. You know, maybe kept things rolling, you know, but, you know, it might not have changed a thing, but that was my opinion.
That's actually a good point. Like, with them playing the very next week, they definitely needed to go into the playoffs with some momentum. And they gave up the opportunity to do this. But in the game, I think they got pass heavy in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Which hurt them. I mean, you got Todd Gurley back there. Like, at least give him the chance to shut Todd Gurley down before you start getting past.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
the muff punt that in the first half.
I was shocked. I thought. Aaron Donald, I thought he was going to be the difference maker in this game. You know, the Rams, you know, star tackle, I thought for sure he was going to make his presence felt in this game, and he was going to dominate and get to Matt Ryan and get to those running backs, man. They closed him up, man. I heard his name a few times yesterday. I saw him a few times yesterday, but, you know, they kept him in check, man, kept their quarterback pretty much clean for most of the time. The Falcons kept their quarterback clean for most of the time. But, you know, yeah, it was domination, man. It was domination.
And then it felt like at times that the Rams were going to creep back, but I think every time they built up a little bit of momentum, Matt Ryan was able to answer with a decent drive of his own. And kind of like take the life back out of the crowd a little
right.
bit.
Yeah, man.
They never let that crowd get a chance to get rolling and really get into the game, which was a good thing for them. I think they just played smart football. They didn't like reach for anything. I think they pretty much just gave. Speaking of the Falcons' offense, they pretty much just gave. They took what the Rams defense gave.
All right, well, let me ask you this, you know, not to get too ahead of ourselves, you know, I know we'll get there a little later. What you saw out of the Falcons yesterday, do you think they have what it takes to, you know, kind of expose any, you know, weaknesses might come with the Eagles, you know, without Carson? You think they, like, you know, just to keep it short with it, but Did you see anything that make you think, okay, well, yeah, they're going to come in here and they could take one from Philly?
I think they could, but I'm not sure if it's on the strength of what they showed yesterday.
Okay, okay.
But I definitely think they could, like, even before yesterday. But I think it's just hard to say. I know Schwartz is going to dial up a good game plan to go at Matt Ryan. I don't know. It's going to take for them to perform it. Like, you've seen with the Titans, like, the Titans had a lot of penalties yesterday. You could tell, like, the Rams had a couple of dumb penalties. Like, you're going to be able to tell with the playoff experience and the players. So, we'll see. We'll definitely see.
Absolutely. You already know.
So, all this translated to the Falcons 26-13 went on the road, and now they travel, like you said, DZ, to travel to Philly to meet the number one seeded Eagles. So that was yesterday's game. Today, first game today, with the Bills at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Dave, what are your thoughts on this? Sorry,
Dizzy,
what are your thoughts on this game?
Oh, man, it was pretty much what I expected out of this game. You know, it was just like, you know, a lot of smash mouth football. You know, I pretty much thought the first team to score would be the winner. You know, that didn't really happen. Well, I guess the first team to score the touchdown, should I say, became the winner, but. You know, it was two tough defenses, man. You know, it's tough. You know, they rugged teams. Nobody offense could get away with nothing. But you know, the Jags, man, it's just another animal. You know, I think they didn't have a good showing. It was a crazy strategy that I've never seen them play like, because you know the Bills had a number one rushing defense, so they came out the gate rushing Bortles. I've never seen Bortles run that much in my life. But hey, it worked.
He hasn't ran that much ever. It definitely worked. It definitely worked. And I think for the Bills, I'm trying to see, like, was Sean McCoy look like he was at least 90% out there? Like, was it a combination of him not being full strength and the Jaguars defense, or was it just the Jaguars defense that clamped down on him?
Yeah, man, I think you might be on to something, because it don't look like he was 100. It don't look like he was really, you know, all the way healthy, which I didn't expect. But his stats, you know, say kind of otherwise. But if you look at the game, yeah, you know, Shady wasn't Shady.
Mm-hmm. So, like you said, it was a defensive smash mouth game. Definitely not a lot of scoring. I didn't expect it. Tyrod Taylor didn't really play all that great to me.
Yeah, he's out of here. He's gone. That's his mind. He's out of here. We ain't gonna get into that right now.
I'm being nice, saying not all that great. I'm being polite saying it. But I mean, Bortles is probably out of here, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I didn't think about that.
Well, Bortles will actually have to win the Super Bowl, or at least make it to not be.
Yeah, he's definitely probably, if you're right, he's probably, you know, he's probably showcasing what he got to other teams right now, because, you know, he better do all he can, because his time in Jacksonville probably is.
Well, 12 for 23 for 87 yards is not going to cut it. Mm-hmm. He does
88 rushing yards, man. Hey, man, he showed a different light of himself.
He had more rushing yards than he had passing yards.
Wow. Wow.
88 rushing, 87 passing.
Yeah, it's not good. that's not beating. That's definitely not going to beat the Steelers this time around. Although we're giving them that, but you know, it didn't go so well for the Steelers last time the Jags played. But those kind of stats, that's not going to get you out of Pittsburgh.
So all this transpired to a 10-3 Jags win. Jags scored a touchdown in the third quarter. That was the last score of the game. And, yeah, that was that. So the night game late afternoon game was the Panthers at the division-winning Saints for the third time this year. Saints had won the previous two. And they won this one. They started off dominating. They dominated the first half. I think the score was, 21-9 going into the half, I believe?
Yeah. Yes, 21-9.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, the Panthers came out. They coming back. I seen, DZ, you still believe that the Panthers are going to win with the 21-9 score. They probably could have. They marched back. They actually scored more second half points than the Saints did.
I convinced myself at halftime. I convinced myself. I said if they can kick and get this field goal and get to 9 points before half and then come out the second half with the ball, I thought they had a good shot of winning the game. I was really confident in that, you know, but he fell short. I'm kind of upset about that though, because I feel like my prediction got stole from me, because Funches, man, I'm kind of a fan of that receiver, you know, seeing him come out of college, man. I didn't like that effort, man. On that last, I don't know if you've seen it. That effort, Cam threw him a good ball. In my eyes, I thought it was a good ball. He made no effort to go get the ball. He's 6'5". Come on, man.
And I feel, and that was the late in the game one, right?
Yeah, that was the last drop.
Yeah, and then and another thing, I feel like the Panthers might be in a little trouble here, which we'll see with the Cam concussion thing, because Cam got hit pretty hard late, and he looked at a little woozy, and he ended up right in the game kind of. And I don't know. I feel like we've seen that a couple of times this year. With
the team using
the concussion protocol.
Yeah, we saw it with the Seahawks and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Trying to cover it up? What I'm reading, you know, they're trying to say that he didn't have a head injury. He got poked in the eye. I don't believe it, because when I seen him hit the ground, you know, everything since, like, he had a concussion or he had some kind of head injury.
For one, Cam wears a visor.
Yeah.
And he never like, wiped his eye. He, like, blinked. He squinted and blinked his eye, which looks as the sign of a concussion, but he never, like, rubbed at his eye.
Yeah, right.
As if he got poked, and he wear a visor, so it looks like they'll be in a little trouble with that.
Yeah, I call BS on that one. So,
but overall, I think it was a great game. Kamara and Ingram only combined for 45 yards rushing.
Yeah, they put them on a lot. No.
They only carried the ball 19 times total together. They only averaged like 2.5 yards a carry. They definitely put the clamps on them. But Drew Brees does what he does. Another 300 yard postseason passing game. He passed for 376, two touchdowns.
Yeah.
Drew. That's what he do.
One thing I say though, you know, and If we wrap in this up talking about the Panthers, I will say that they're coming. You know, I like what I see out of the Panthers, you know. So, you know, they probably next year, I like this young team, man. They got a couple injured players coming back. I like what I see out of Cam and the Panthers.
Do you think the Kelvin Benjamin trade helped them or hurt them?
It's hard to, you know, back this up now, you know, because what I just said about...
Not talking about in the future. It's like immediate as far as this season, this game. Do you think Kelvin Benjamin would have helped them advance?
Kelvin Benjamin, I feel like he could have helped anybody. You know, it's hard to have this argument because watching him play with the Bills and pretty much do nothing and... I want to say it didn't do anything because, you know, I like Funchess, you know, and I thought pretty much Funchess was just going to step in his place, which he did, and he did it well for the second half of the season. But this game, that was hard to watch.
Uh-huh.
So, but I would say they could have used him, you know, they definitely used Benjamin.
Yeah, I'm starting to think that was a little premature. That's something they probably could have done at the end of the season.
Definitely.
So, we're on to the divisional round now. The Elite Eight of the NFL.
Yeah.
Two games Saturday, two games Sunday, just like today. So we're gonna run down the games and with. Yeah, see, we went a little long with the wild card weekend, but that's cool. All right, so we got the divisional round. First game of the weekend is Saturday, January 13th at 4:35. The Falcons at the Eagles. So, DZ, who you picking in this one?
So Falcons, Eagles. I'm gonna take the home team, man. I'm taking the home team. I got faith in Foles. Me personally, I think they haven't been showing anything the last few weeks. I think they, you know, and it's a smart and if I'm right, it's smart enough, you know, not to show their hand. And I think they're going to unleash the offense, you know, against the Falcons and take a win.
The thing about Foles with me is, it's like, will the real Foles please stand up? Because we have 7 touchdown Foles.
It wasn't against
a great defense. It was against a good defense. We have 7 touchdown Foles, and then we have the other Nick Foles who can't keep the starting job. So you just don't know which Foles you're gonna get. We got a good Foles a couple weeks ago against the Raiders, but I feel like everything we've seen from him since what's went down around that hasn't been good enough to win the playoff game. But then on the other side of the ball, you have the defense. You have the defense who's been playing lights out all year. And like I said, I know Jim Schwartz is going to dial up a pretty good scheme in the game plan to try to keep Matt Ryan and his weapons contained, and I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles in this one. I'm going to go with the Philadelphia Eagles 23-19. I feel like the Falcons probably will be able to move the ball on them, but probably not be able to punch it in much. Kind of like what we've seen at most of the game with the Panthers today. I can see that happening with the Falcons. So I'm going to go 23-19 Eagles. All right, second game Saturday, we got the Titans versus the Patriots at 8:15. DZ, who you going with them?
Hey, man, listen, you know you know me long enough to know I'm Patriots biased, man, and it's well worth it. I got to take the Patriots, man. The Titans shouldn't be here. Let's just keep it at that. They have nothing showing me that they can, you know, even compete with the Patriots. I see this as a, you know, maybe a 27-9 game. That's what I give it, and I'm being generous with the 9, but you never know.
I think you're being generous with the 27 also.
Yeah.
The Titans does have a good defense and a great defense. I'm sorry, I'm not even going to downplay like that. They have a great defense, but going up in Foxborough, the cloth different. The cloth different. I'm gonna have to go 38-10 Patriots in this one. This will probably be a cakewalk. Unless Belichick is really in his spiteful bag right now, and he
yeah man yeah
he throws out there like he did against the Dolphins and says you out on your own, kid.
Hey, listen. You know, funny you bring that up, man. That's a good point. You might be all shot because what they talking about turmoil in New England, but
and Vegas to get rich and you know that'll be that. But yeah, unless Belichick really just want to end this now and get this over with, and he in his spiteful bag and he just I'm done with it. But if not, then yeah, this will definitely be a cakewalk for the Patriots. All right, so Sunday, first game Sunday at 1:05 is the Jaguars at the Steelers. Now I'm gonna say for this game, looking at the first game, and of course, I know you're not really supposed to look at regular season games and postseason matchups, especially for somebody like the Steelers, who. People Steelers who've been there, you know, year after year, know what it takes to win a Super Bowl against a team who hasn't been there. But looking at this first matchup, the thing that strikes me about it is, you know, you can say, all right, Big Ben had 5 picks, so they must have contained Antonio Brown. That's not the case at all. Antonio Brown had 10 catches for 157 yards. So, they shut down Le'Veon Bell. They pretty much, outside of Antonio Brown, shut down Big Ben, pick him off. So it was like, all right, we're going to let Antonio Brown get off. We're going to make you beat us with other people. And the Steelers weren't able to do that, and that's one thing that kind of scares me about this game. Because let's say they are able to shut down Le'Veon Bell again, and then let Antonio Brown get off. And then what?
I don't know. It's hard to call because Jacksonville is still Jacksonville. And, you know, but this year, man, everything's pointing to me. This is what I think happens. You know, this is tough. It's tough for me. I want to say the Jags take it again, but I definitely, you know, something in me wants to say it, but I can't. I think the Steelers win this game. And I think they don't do it in a pretty fashion. I think Big Ben struggles again, and I think this time Le'Veon gets him over the hump. I don't think they let AB go off for 157 yards this go around. I think they smarten up. They got 2 stud cornerbacks. You know, a pretty good safety back there, and I just see, you know, that front 7, you know, kind of loosening up, you know, and I see Le'Veon probably, you know, going off in the passing game for Big Ben. I think he smartens up and stops trying to force feed his receivers, and he force feeds his running back, you know, to take so he don't throw 5 interceptions like he did last game, you know, and I think Le'Veon gets it done because the thing about it, the Steelers' defense has shown me something that I didn't see coming. I thought they were going to be sweet this year, personally, but they're pretty good. They've been pretty good, you know. Joe Hayden has helped them, you know, and they haven't been, you know, bad at all. And Jacksonville offense, as we've seen this week, against a good defense, is I wouldn't say suspect, but they regular. You know, there's nothing spectacular.
And then about that. Like Bortles' numbers from this earlier Steelers game look like his numbers from the day. He went 8 for 14 for 95 yards and a pick.
Oh, man.
Still won 30-9.
Look at those numbers again.
Look at those numbers again. Winning games.
Winning games. Wow.
Winning games. Now, the thing, the X factor here is Fournette not getting 181 yards and two touchdowns, which I think the Steelers' run defense has sharpened up.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah, true. True.
That
even without Shazier, you know, those young, they got some young guys back there that's, you know, definitely stepping up to the plate. And the last few weeks, man, they've been tough. And honestly, I think they're using that Shazier factor. They've been playing harder. Their defense been playing hard since they, you know, lost Shazier. You know, and hopefully he comes back, man. I don't know, even not worrying about football. I just hope he gets back to good health, man, and get feeling in his legs and extremities and everything. But definitely, I definitely still take the Steelers. Low scoring game, maybe like a 17-13 game, but I got Steelers taking it 17-13.
I'm actually gonna go with the Jaguars in this game. I'm gonna go with the Jaguars
20-17. It's gonna be one to see. We're gonna revisit this.
Yeah. I think the Jaguars has what it takes to go on there.
Who the X factor? Who you got the X factor for the Jags?
The X factor for the Jags?
To take this game.
I don't know. More than likely,
you know it ain't going to be the 87-yard borders. I know you know that much.
I got the X factor being Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey.
I got that being my X factor for the game.
I take that all day long.
Got me. All right, so the night game, the late afternoon game, is the Saints going into Minnesota to play the number two seeded Vikings. Deezy, how you calling this one?
Ooh, man. NFL got it right, man. That's all I can say. These matchups, NFL got it right. The question is, man, what is Minnesota going to do? I mean, I'm sure they're going to roll out Case Keenum. But Bradford is healthy from what I'm hearing. They're saying Bradford is healthy, man. And he was on fire before he gave up the spot to Case Keenum. So, I mean, that would be gutsy to go with Bradford at this point. But anyway, I got to take the Vikings, man. I got to take the Vikings. Because if nothing – with that defense, I've picked against them all season long. Every single time I picked against them and count them out, they proved me wrong, man. Every single time. So for that reason alone, I'm picking the Vikings. I do, even though they both have good defenses, I think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think they get the best of each other. I'm calling Vikings 12, Vikings 31-27.
31-27 Vikings. This one was my toughest matchup to try to predict for the whole next weekend. I think these teams pretty much evenly stacked up against each other. The thing about, well, with this being another rematch from earlier this season, this was week one. This was all the way in week one. You got to think about the Saints lost, but they were still trying to fit Adrian Peterson in their system.
That's true.
They were trying to get him carries, and
we didn't know who Kamara was yet, because I didn't know who Kamara was. So.
So I think now they found their niche, and I don't see them. If the Vikings were to win, it definitely wouldn't be a 10-point win. I don't think. I'm gonna go with the Saints in this one. I agree that this might be a high scoring affair. I'm gonna go with the Saints 33-28.
33-28. Lock it in. Lock it in.
I just think the experience, I just think once again the experience will come into play here. Now, let's just hypothetically speak here. And say the Vikings does win and does go on. Like, the Vikings are in a very bad quarterback controversy if they were to go on to the Super Bowl with Case Keenum.
Yeah.
You got healthy Bridgewater, healthy Bradford. Like, start one, bitch one, trade one. I think that's the ultimate bench one situation right there.
It's a tough situation because what do you do if Keenum goes into one of these games, whether it be this game or they get past and go to the next game? What do you do if he starts struggling? Like, you can't sit him in the second half. You can't bench him and bring a Bradford that hasn't played since week two or three. You can't do that.
It's not baseball. It's not pitching. You definitely can't do that.
Yeah, that's tough. Me personally, they're not gonna commit to Keenum. So he's been pretty much auditioning for somebody else. That's my opinion. No way they lock him up and put their money into him with the two quarterbacks they have and that defense. Personally, I don't think it matters which quarterback is back there. You got two, I ain't gonna say stud receivers, two pretty good receivers that can make a quarterback look good. You got an okay tight end, a great offensive line. You got three good running backs, and the defense is pretty much at the top of their game. So I doubt they lock up Case Keenum, with the talented two quarterbacks they have sitting behind them. So in the future, should I say.
So I know we were supposed to touch on the All-Pro team, but we're out of time for tonight, so we're going to come back to the All-Pro team thing. So we're going to wrap up tonight. That was the wild card weekend. We'll talk to you after the divisional round and see what happens there. So I'm T.D. Berry with Deezy. This is the P Street Radio Out of Bounds. Thanks for listening. Y'all be cool. How y'all be cool?